Thank you. Part of the package deal, we fed you up so much because now we wanted to invite you to join a gym program. And so I'm going to ask Craig to come up because I could tell you about it, but there's probably someone better. I want you to get Craig to talk you through a gym routine. So it's all the thing you want to hear while you're still finishing breakfast. So thanks, Craig.
Go, Craig.
All right. So...
is it going to be
pain, Craig? I don't know, probably. Basically, I'm just winging this. But the actually, recently I changed gyms and I've just joined a CrossFit gym. So so this is actually an intervention and you've all just come to a CrossFit seminar. If you've met a CrossFitter, you'll know that evangelism and CrossFit were made for each other. So... but basically, to go through the sort of the rundown, I think Pastor Mark's wanting me to, is that is all the exercises, all the workouts that I've been involved in so far, they start with working on your flexibility and mobility, and then into your strength, and then into your cardiovascular, or your, they call it metabolic conditioning. And basically, it just takes you on the journey of not just being strong in one area, but strong in others. And obviously, you have to incorporate rest and a good diet into all of those things too, but the whole sort of plan is to work on not just being strong, but also being able to move fast and flexible and all those sorts of things as well, and have endurance and stamina. So I don't know if that sort of explains what you were going for. But
great. I get... thanks, Craig. I get Craig to talk me through that at least once a week because listening to Craig makes me fit. Who would believe that? If you do, I've got a block of land for sale as well. So, we've heard from Craig. We know just hearing from Craig doesn't make us fit, doesn't make me fit. We've heard from Dave how to have a good fight, but it doesn't make me a good fighter. We've heard from Paul on how to, you know, handle our finances, but I'm still not wealthy this morning. So... we can talk a whole lot about a whole bunch of things, but it doesn't really help. So, Healthy Church. We're going to talk a little bit about Healthy Church. And through this morning, there'll be different ones. And Sue's going to talk about, and part of the Healthy Church, obviously, is you, the healthy leader. And so someone else will be covering, Sue will be covering that. The health of the leaders personally, health of teams, the health of culture, the clarity of destination, and direction is all part of things that make a healthy church. But I want to talk about, just briefly, is the biggest thing that I would go, this is the number one thing that makes a healthy church. You ready? Do what you already know to do. Do what you already know to do. It's not the end of the sentence, but that's a big part of it. Do what you already know to do. That is a not-for-sale God truth or pattern, biblical pattern. So it's not just do what you already know, because doing what we already know has probably got us to where we are. But doing what we already know to do, that is a not-for-sale God truth, or it's a biblical pattern. And... is by far and away the biggest thing to make a healthy church. Because we could all probably pass an exam on how to have a healthy church, and yet, again, that's not the answer. So, one action is better than 1,000 great intentions. So, James 1:22. Remember, it's a message to obey, not just to listen to. Philippians 4:9, keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. And then the God of peace will be with you.
Yes.
So God being with us is conditional. Anyway, Hebrews, I'm just wondering if we're part of the problem. And over the last 12 months, I've been sort of wrestling with this. Hebrews 3 and 2, 5 reflects on Psalm 95, which says, hey, today you listen to my voice and do not harden your hearts then. And if we look at, you know, Jesus talking about the wise man who built his house upon the rock, who was a person who heard and obeyed, I wonder if we're actually part of the problem, because whenever we preach our newest and greatest and latest revelation on our congregations or upon our leader team that haven't done already what we spoke about last week, are we actually setting them up for a fail where they're not doing what they've heard to do? And with the overload of information and live streaming and podcasts and books and so it's, please, I'm not saying let's be dumb, but what I am saying is if we don't do what we know to do, it just doesn't work. And so if we are, do we love preaching and teaching more than we love reaching? So is it about listening to, just here's again my greatest revelation, or are we actually setting up people? How do we know that people are actually putting into practice what we say? And if they're not, are we setting them up for the foolish man who built his house upon the sand because he heard and didn't do? So I've learned that it's not just pointing the finger to the people in front of me, it's actually as a leader, am I setting them up not just to, at the end of a service, to go, great, good preaching, but actually have we set people up to do what we believe is a God truth? So how do I lifestyle up the lesson? And so this morning is really just some really practical things that I've seen to go, well, how do I lifestyle up the lesson or the truth that we heard? So just a question, how many here were at last year's conference? So quite a number. Who can remember who the speakers were? Less. Okay. Who can remember what they spoke about? Less. Who put into practice what they spoke about that's changed their life? Less. Great. Good on you. So well done. For the rest of us, should we have stayed home? Can I say, because this is what our congregations are thinking.
Yeah.
It's like, I haven't done. So again, are we setting up an audience to be entertained, or actually are we supposed to be doing something more than that? So how do I lifestyle up the lesson? And it's not just from a public setting, but if we're sitting down with God in our quiet space with God and we actually are inviting God to speak to us, I wonder if God actually sometimes hesitates to go, well, spoke to you yesterday and last week and the year before, and you still haven't put anything into practice what I said then. Anyway, so here's some things. How do I do what I already know? How do we lifestyle up the lesson? Genesis chapter 1. We're going to go through, we've got 14 hours now, so we're going to go through the whole Bible of... No, Genesis chapter 1. Who has a guess on how Genesis chapter 1 starts? The first three words. In the beginning. Well done. So I'm going to ask you, what's your starting point? What's our starting point? In the beginning is our starting point. Is it an audience to be entertained or followers to be adjusted? And I could tell you, if you're an audience to be entertained, or followers to be adjusted, by how many people are taking notes right now. Or you're just incredibly gifted, and so I'm going to keep that category open. Pastor Paul said 92% of people are non-starters, are non-self-starters. So, again, if our congregations are 200 people, 16 people in that will take away what you've said. Okay, so our starting point, what's our starting point when we come to a conference, when we come to sit down with our Bibles with God, when we come to a to any point, what's our starting point? So clarifying the goal. So do our congregations know is it clear what our teams need? Is it clear what our congregations need? What's the starting goal? If it's, let's take a Sunday service. What's the starting goal? Is it to Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, for those who love God according to his purpose. This is his purpose. Verse 29, that we're conformed into the image of his son. So my starting point is to go, what could, when I sit down, obviously to connect with God relationally, again, someone else is going to talk about that a bit later and focus on that. But the other part of that is to go, what in that time and in that truth that I sit down with God, what is it I'm going to take away that I'm actually going to realign my life, that it conforms into being more and more like Jesus. Jesus gave us an invitation to come follow me. Follow is act according to. So the invitation we've got to, from God is come, let's live a life that is acting according to the life that Jesus lived. And I don't know about you, I still need some adjustment to get there. What it... Everyone else went, yeah, not me, I'm there. But we are, the invitation, the incredible invitation we have is to go, we get to live a life like Jesus.
Yeah, that's so good.
And, but that doesn't automatically pop because Craig told me how to do, I'm not fit. Because we've heard something doesn't mean my life's aligned. There's actually some adjusting that I need to do. So in the beginning, my starting point is to go from this conference, coming into this conference, to go, what's something I can take away that I need to realign my life to that then helps me, not just a novel idea, but what's a biblical pattern, a truth, a not-for-sale truth, a conviction that I'm going to put into my life that's going to help me become more and more like Jesus. Because a healthy church would be full of people who are acting according to the way that Jesus acted.
Yeah.
Great. So the starting point is, what's one thing that you're taking away, just we're at the conference, so what's one thing you're taking away from the conference that is, that you've determined, because we've got to determine, is it a not-for-sale truth or is it just a good idea? Pastor Paul was entertaining, but was it a good idea or was it a biblical pattern? Is it, do I have the option to go, yeah, nah? Because unless we get to that starting point to go, biblical truth, I need to align my life to biblical truth, then if that's not my starting point, then it's going to be someone's good idea.
Yeah.
Good idea, Dave, to fight the fight. But unless I'm saying, no, that's actually biblical truth, that's biblical pattern. And if that's not my starting point, then it's always going to be options out. I can opt out of anything I hear just because I don't like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good
idea. So, in the beginning, what's our starting point? When a healthy church, to start with, actually, there's a biblical pattern to that needs to be held, and my life needs to be aligned and conformed to that. So, in the beginning, the next word goes, in the beginning... God. Great. So if we want to have a healthy church, one, what's our starting point? Two, this would be ridiculous to a bunch of Christian leaders. Can you invite God to the party? You don't leave God out of the equation. If we think, well, I'm just going to get better because I'm going to work harder at it, good on you. And hopefully we'll still see you next year. But put God into the equation of everything we do. We can't work God out of the equation. We can't.
Right.
Yeah. We can't get so clever that God, we don't need God.
Yeah.
In the beginning, so what's our starting point for a healthy church? And then God. Let's keep God in the equation. Invite Jesus to the party, because I'm absolutely convinced that only God can restore a heart back to original design. Not our good ideas, not our great gifted preaching, not anything else. It's only God that restores a heart. Jesus said it this way, you must be born again. So I just wonder if that's still part of our language and still part of our equation, that unless God changes our heart, unless there's a rebirth inside of us, that doesn't matter what we do, we're not going to have a healthy church. So in the beginning, God, let's keep God a part of the equation, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. And it's up to us to keep on creating that environment. So in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. So in the beginning, what's our starting point? Let's keep God a part of the equation. Made the heavens and the earth. And can I just say, he didn't do it all at once. Is God powerful enough to create everything that he did all at once?
Yes.
But he didn't. Even God, as much power as he had, had the wisdom to go, well, I'm only going to focus on this one thing first.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to focus on the next thing. Then I'm going to focus on the next thing. Paul says, this one thing I do. If you read Paul's letters, there's more than one thing in there. But he says, this one thing I do. So in the beginning, God made the heavens and earth, but not all at once. And it's hard to put more than one lesson into lifestyle at a time. So if we fired as preachers to go, how many messages have we fired at our congregation this year? As our, you know, to our teams, how many truths have we put out to our teams this year? And there, again, we're not the only source of revelation that our congregation get and our teams get. You know, the Andy Stanley saying this, and Mark Varughese is saying that, and A.W. Taser is saying this, and so we get all these things. So there's all these revelations coming, and yet it can be overload because we're not putting the one thing into practice. And I think as a healthy church, I wonder if, and again, we've probably all heard the stories of the guy that you know, the preacher just preached on one thing for a whole year in his first year, and the congregation going, when are we going to get on to the next? It's like, well, when we do the first. And I wonder if we have the courage to do that and to go, what's the one thing? So if I can encourage you, what's the one thing you're taking away from conference? Because there's a better chance of that one thing actually getting some traction.
Excellent.
Great. And just into Genesis chapter 1, just as a... something that Sue will be bringing later, but it's really helped us, is to get the genius in the order. You know, day one was what? It was night, then day. Not day, then night. When God talks about fashioning, hey, this is day one, the evening and the morning, that was the day. So day starts with God working, us resting. Then, from that point, it goes from us working with God working. God doesn't rest per se. He always rests at the same time, so figure it out. But the tension is that we've got to come from a place of rest. And
we've got to keep the space where we're putting into practice from a place of rest, not a place of busyness. We won't put into practice things that we know from a place of busyness. It'll just get complicated. Great. So, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth. And it goes on to say, God said, let there be light. So, God got it defined down specifically to a sentence, to a word. Can you define... So what's a biblical pattern? We're just talking this in the sense of conference now. What's a one biblical pattern that you've heard over conference that you can define in a sentence that you can take away? Because if we go, that was a great conference. Pastor Paul spoke about money. Dave spoke about fighting. Great. Yeah, we're not going to do it. It's got to get specific. God said, let there be light. It wasn't just God said. He defined it into a sentence to go, this is what I'm talking about. So can we define, again, to put it into action, again, unless we can put into action what we've heard, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. So, but and if we can't define what that action is into a sentence, into a word, to go, it's not just money.
It's not just a stop yelling at me. It's not just a definition of theology of money. It's to go, okay, what am I going to do about that? What? Yeah, and so then, so get it into a specific and a practical plan. What's the truth, the lesson, the action that can be verbalized? So what is God talking to you about? Oh, God's talking to me about my health. Get more specific.
Yeah.
What part of your health?
Yeah.
Well, so keep on nailing it down so you can put it into a sentence to go, well, God's talking to me about my health, that I, again, the way that I rest first, and then from that place of rest, I'm empowered to act. So what does that look like? Well, that looks like, we'll find out a bit later. Great. So what's God talking to you about, and what are you doing about it? So there needs to be a start, taking notes. I'm glad someone wrote down some notes. It's called the Gospels. Pretty happy about that, that someone actually took some time to get specific about it. Jesus talked about loving people. Amen. Well, actually, no, someone got a little bit more detail in it to go, well, this is what it's about. So until it gets there, to listen and then to take the time to ponder. I wonder in our conference session as part of, I've had to learn, for me, like one session in a conference would actually be enough. Then give me another 2 days to go, what am I going to do with that? And then how am I going to work with the team to put it into practice? Because I've just been around long enough and gone to enough conferences to go, it can be so entertaining, but I actually want to shift something, because the goal isn't to be entertained, it's to be adjusted to be more like Jesus. Great. So make a specific plan. There's things called SMART goals, and you can look that up if you want to know what that is. So God said, let there be light. And then he said, in verse 25, and it was good. So evaluate, assess what is and isn't working. Something that Pastor Paul was saying that, but do we evaluate as, again, as preachers, teachers, as team, you know, from a conference point of view, from a state perspective, if this is what we believe God said last year to us as a state with Pastor Danny and Sanger. If we believe then the year before when Pastor Phil Pringle was here and Joel Cave, it's like if their voices into us as a state, then and God speaking prophetically to us as a state, well then is it like, eh? Or actually are they shaping us to, otherwise there's better times we can have without than doing conferences. But again, I'm trying to say this because this is how our congregations are thinking.
Yeah.
So it's not just, you go back. Good. And it was good, so evaluate, assess. I don't know if we do that as a team. You know, we often call it an autopsy, that we, Tuesday morning, let's talk about Sundays, how did that go? But it's an evaluation actually to make it better, not an autopsy to go, this is how it died. Great. And then it says, let us make. We can't do it alone. We can't do it alone. We're not created to do it alone. So who in the state do you connect with? Because we're not designed to do it alone. So who do we connect with in the state? Who do we connect to in our local areas? Who do we connect to that is going to help? So who's your coach? Who's your Paul? 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. Paul, Timothy, trustworthy, others. And that's the discipleship process that we should all have a Paul. So who's your Paul? We're not meant to do it alone. If you're trying to do it alone, again, hopefully we might see you next year. But who's our Paul? Who knows everything about you that can help? Again, cover that and then help take you on the journey. Who are you going to as your coach to make and to help you continue on the journey, to put into practice what you know? Then who's your Timothy? Who are you doing that to? Because I found in our churches we've gone through this pattern that people are shaped probably more from their Timothys than they are from their Pauls.
Wow.
Or just as much anyway. Because when they understand someone's looking at my life, someone else is asking me these questions, sheesh, I better shape up on this. Had so many people going, didn't realise people were looking. They've asked me questions. I've got to have answers. Well, we'll go on a journey with them at least. So the Timothys have helped shaped, in a lot of sense, even more, as just as much as the Pauls. So who's your Timothy? Who's sharpening you up? And again, a leader's role is not to be in charge, but to care for and be responsible for those in our charge.
Yep.
time. So really all I'm trying to say is that if we don't act on what we know, if we don't start putting into practice the biblical patterns, then we can have great times at conferences, we can have great food, we can have a whole bunch of things going on, we can have great services, and yet that's not going to all the world and have great services is not the goal. It's going to all the world and make disciples. Come follow me. Let's have a group of people who act according to, who are going to go on a journey to be realigned and conformed into the image of Jesus. And if we want to have healthy churches, there's got to be a realigning and conforming into the image of what health is. And so I encourage us to go, you know, to have a look at how much are we actually laying on the people that we're leading and expecting them to get a new revelation, our latest revelation every week. Or should we actually pull back to go, it's probably not as much about me sharing my greatest revelation as them putting into practice a biblical pattern and truth in their life that we can get a hold of. As parents, that's what we do with our kids. We know that. We don't overload our kids, or we try to start with and realise it doesn't work. But one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing. And so just from a really practical point of view, to lifestyle up the lesson, is to go, if that's not our starting point, if we're not looking at lifestyling up lessons, if we're not, how do we personally apply biblical pattern and truth, then we're not going to go to Paul Gillen's church to go, oh, okay, so this is how it all works. We're not going to go to Hillsong and to go, this is, I've talked to people who've been to Hillsong conferences for 30 years or been to Edge conferences for, you know, for 10 years, and yet their whole church doesn't reflect anything about what they've seen at Hillsong. Or, you know, or in Edge Church or whatever. So we can go and look, we can go and hear, but everything I read in the Bible is you don't get ticks for that. You get tick for something you've put into practice. So let's sharpen each other up. Let's be each other's best friends, is to go, what are we putting into practice? Let that be part of our conversation. What's God talking to us about? What are you doing about what God's talking to us about? And I think we're well on the journey to becoming healthier churches.
Right.
Thank you, Pastor Mark.